Father, we could spend much more time and just listening and just sensing your presence. And we thank you. We do thank you, though, you've given us the weapon of prayer, and we do want to use that this morning, Lord, as we gather in this little circle and lift up the requests that you would put on our hearts, Lord. And as we look at yet another prayer in the Bible, Lord, may we learn from you and from it through your Spirit that it would be of help in time of trouble and comfort in any need. And so, Lord, lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a question for you. Try to picture the moment of your greatest need that you can ever remember in your life. The moment of your greatest need. Maybe there's a lot of them, but there's probably one or two that maybe even stand out that you just totally felt without hope, without any way out, total fear, didn't know what to do. Everywhere you've looked, everywhere you've tried, there's no avenue of escape, really. What do you do? Well, today we have a prayer of a man in that position. His name is Jacob. He's a very gifted man, a very crafty man in a sense. He has done well with his wits. He has been able to outmaneuver some pretty clever guys like Laban. And he's made the break from Syria going back to Israel. Not easy to outrun Laban when you've got wives and children and sheep and cattle. And so Laban has chased him down, and they had quite an angry standoff. But the Lord prevailed, and they made a covenant between them, and they put up a pile of stones for a witness, and they call it Mizpah. And basically it was a situation, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. Don't cross over the line, so to speak. That was to the north. And now Jacob, he's going to continue his sojourn on into Israel, and he's going south now, and he remembers the hatred of his brother Esau, who he hasn't seen for quite a number of years. Esau wanted to kill him the last time that he saw him. So he sends messengers out to let let Esau know he's coming, and with gifts and so forth, at least the promise of gifts. And they return and they say, Esau is on his way to see you with 400 men. How would you feel? He's south, you can't go north, you have no way of escape. You got all these children, you got the cattle, and so you're dead meat, right? Dead meat, in a sense. Well, we see a great prayer by him here, and I think it's a model for all of us when we get into a situation where we don't know what to do or where to go. So obviously the answer we all know, but to just repeat it, the answer in time of great need is what? Pray. Pray. Now, we can notice Jacob's prayer here. We've seen other prayers of his before. The first thing we notice here is another proper address. I think the address of the prayer is important. We don't want to be praying to anybody other than one and true and living God. There's so many gods around that often people just say, oh, God, and you don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what God they're talking about. But he says, oh, God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. So he has the proper address. Jesus, of course, in his model prayer said what? Our Father who art in heaven. And then the second thing we see here in this prayer, which is we haven't seen this before in Jacob's prayer, at least to this degree, we see evidence of a great humility, a great deep humility, which is something that was always lacking in that guy, because he was very self-confident, right? I don't know how self-confident you are, but I hope you're not as self-confident as you were, because there's nothing in yourself to be confident about. But here we see deep humility, because notice what he says here. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. So we see this deep humility. So we see the proper address, we see the deep humility, and then the next thing we see is to magnify the Lord, to exalt Him, to thank Him, or to come before Him, recognizing His mercy. Because He says, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of the truth which you've shown your servant. And then the next step, of course, he minimizes or depreciates the problem that he's exposed to. And that is so important, because when we look at these impossible solutions, we look at these problems in our life that there's no way out, that's always in the area of our agency. It's not in the areas of God. How do you minimize your problems? You turn them over to the Lord. They're beyond your ability, no question about it. So don't continue to dwell there. Oh, this problem is too big for me. Yeah, it's too big for me. Of course it is. And the Lord puts problems in our lives, I believe, intentionally to show us that we need Him, right? And He wants that relationship with Him. And so here Jacob cries out for deliverance. He says, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. And he's very real here. Notice, he says, for I fear him. I fear him. Make your needs very real to the Lord. Don't hold back and say, well, Lord, I know I can handle it, but, you know, I may need a little bit of help here and there. Would you consider? And I'm really not afraid at all. I'm really a brave guy. No, tell him the truth. Tell him you don't have any way out at all. You need his help desperately, and you're scared to death. And then the next step here is he stands on the promises of God. Now, we've seen that before in his prayers. He's always stood on the promises of God. In earlier prayers, it seems to me he's almost like daring God. Now, God, you said, do it. But I don't, maybe he said it this way, maybe he didn't. I don't see that in this prayer, because he's coming with this deep humility, and he is in trouble here. He's got 400 guys coming on him. He doesn't, it's not time to get cute with the Lord, is it? But he pleads the promises. For you said, that's not probably the right inflection, for you said, Lord, help. I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. So that's the one promise he repeats right there, right now. We go back a few chapters in Genesis 28, 15. God said, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. That's another promise that would probably come to his mind. And then just in the last chapter we have, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, to your family, and I will be with you. Isn't that an awesome promise to come back to at a time like this? He is in the process of returning to his land. He is obedient to the Lord. And all these problems are befalling him. But he says, I'm remembering the promises that you made, for you said, is in his prayer. Stand on the promises of God. And then lastly, take or be encouraged. Take encouragement or be encouraged from what God has already done. If you look back, God has never left you nor forsaken you. He's never dumped you. He's never failed to come through. Stand on those promises. He's reminded when he crossed over that brook there, years earlier, he only had a stick. That's all he had. I came with a stick, and you did prosper. Now I'm coming back with two companies of cattle, livestock, coming back with wives and all these children. You have blessed me. You have been faithful to me. You just delivered me from Laban. That was a big deal. I could have been just ground to bits by him. I had no defense, and you delivered me from Laban. Actually, even ended up with kind of a peaceful parting. And so now you'll deliver me again. Take encouragement in that. When you turn it over to the Lord, leave it in the Lord's hands. Jacob hasn't quite learned that yet, but there is an element of get your affairs in order. When you pray, be sensitive to the Lord for what you're to do, because oftentimes there are things you need to do. You don't want to go overboard on this and say, okay, I've given it to the Lord, but now I'm just going to go like crazy, man, running all around trying to do everything I can possibly think of in my strength. No, but be sensitive to the Spirit's leading to do what He has for you to do. And I think that appeasing enemies, reconciling your enemies is important. And that's one of the things that happens here, because Jacob is going to appease and is going to be reconciled through the Lord to his brother Esau. And I don't think his idea here of two companies and gifts and all is too far offline. I don't know about the two companies. I'm not sure that's of the Lord. But I think the gifts are. I think we want to give gifts out of love to our enemies. Because, boy, gifts will really break down an enemy, won't they? We run into this problem all the time on the mission field, in the tendency in most cultures with the corrupt government, they always want to pay off. They always want to pay off. And in many cases, you really need a supernatural miracle if you're ever going to get a permit or an approval or a visa or anything else. And I'm not in favor of bribes, but I am in favor of being sensitive to the Lord, of maybe giving people gifts, not directly as a bribe. I give you this, you give me that, but just out of kindness, just out of kindness. We want to be kind, don't we? Isn't that the Lord's way? So keep Jesus in mind, what He would do, but listen to the Spirit to give you the indication of what you should do. So he's become two companies now. He offers his gifts to Laban, and we know that God made that a very peaceful gathering and meeting, and then a separation so Jacob can be on his way once again. Father, we thank You in this prayer that we see the various elements of a good prayer. We see the address. We see the need for humility. We see we want to ask You for mercy. And Lord, we want to turn the problem from being huge in our eyes to being nothing in Your eyes. And we want to stand on Your promises, Lord. And we want to be encouraged by what You've already done. So here we are today, Lord, and we can kind of continue this theme in a way in this group prayer. We thank You for what You've already done. We come with all humility. We have no power in ourselves. Lord, there's different problems that we all have and so forth, which we can take to You really on our own time. But here we want to bring up those things that are common for all of us. We want to pray for the body of Christ, the church, around the world and the one right here. We want to pray for the upcoming resurrection season, not only here, not only at this busyness, even today here in the courtyard, but all around the world, where hearts and minds are more open to You than at other times. And so, Lord, whatever You put in our heart, we just want to be faithful to You, and we want to collectively come before You in one accord, knowing that there is power. There's such power in that. We know how the 120 were in one accord, really in line and in time as You poured out Your Spirit on the church on the day of Pentecost. And we want to be in one accord here as You would pour out Your Spirit today to do what You would do today, April the 12th, I think it is. And Lord, days are so few until You're going to have us out of here, either as the church in the rapture or one at a time. But Lord, we want to use this time. So direct us now by Your Spirit and lead us in this time of prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name.